WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. There are now 2 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the U.S. The second was confirmed in Chicago yesterday, the first in Washington State. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says public health officials are preparing for possible cases in the Big Apple, but
what we do know to date is that only through prolonged exposure can someone contract this virus. It is not a situation as with some other diseases where a single contact would be enough.
The number of confirmed cases in China rose to more than 1,200. The death toll's now at 41. The city of Wuhan remains on lockdown. The leader of Hong Kong declared a state of emergency today and said flights and trains would not be allowed to leave the city. Closer to home, the Howard County Health Department says anyone who has family who traveled to Southeast Asia recently should be on the lookout for symptoms, including a fever, cough, or shortness of breath. The county's health officer says if you traveled to China in the last 14 days, and have any of those symptoms, go to a doctor immediately, but call ahead first. The CDC says the immediate health risk to Americans is low. President Donald Trump's attorneys will start presenting their opening arguments in the Senate impeachment trial this morning. The Democrats wrapped up theirs last night.
Democratic House managers used just about all the time they were allotted over 3 days. Lead Adam Schiff closing out with words aimed at the senators in the chamber.
And so I ask you, I implore you, give America a fair trial. She's worth it.
One of the president's lead attorneys, Jay Sekulow, wants his message to get out to voters.
I'm really trying to remove the president from the ballot in 2020. We are, what, 10.5 months out from an election? And they don't trust the American people to make a decision.
As for the theme of the day, an obstruction of Congress accusation against the president, Sekulow adds you don't get penalized for exercising constitutional rights. Bob Costantini, Washington.
If you drive the Intercounty Connector over the next several weekends, you could find yourself being detoured off the toll road.
This is part of upgrades that we are doing at all of our toll facilities across the state of Maryland.
Kelly Mellum with the Maryland Transportation Authority says new equipment to read your Easy Pass is being installed, forcing westbound lanes to be closed at New Hampshire Avenue this weekend and eastbound traffic at Layhill Road next weekend. Detour signs will direct you back onto the ICC to continue your trip.
We have about half or even less traffic volumes on the weekend.
This weekend work will continue until all of the gantries are serviced in the weeks ahead. John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
The Nats face of the franchise, Ryan Zimmerman, agreed to terms on a $2 million contract for 2020 that includes the possibility of earning $3 million more in incentives. The incentives are based on the number of games the first baseman plays and how many plate appearances he gets. Up next, traffic and weather on WMAL.
The Stake is back.
The President of the United States.
You and a guest could join WMAL's Larry O'Connor for Stake of the Union, our special State of the Union viewing party, complete with complimentary steak dinner.
It's you. It's me. It's us.
This year's Stake of the Union happens February 4th at Old Anglers Inn, just off MacArthur Boulevard in Potomac.
This is a beautiful thing.
And the only way in is to win. Register for your seat at Stake of the Union with Larry O'Connor at WMAL.com/contests.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that advanced your career skills and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? Find out more. Text RESULT to 79645. Start on the path to earning your MBA or Business Analytics Master's degree online from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the graduate programs from the top-ranked W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University offered 100% online. Text RESULT to 79645. That's RESULT to 79645.
It's 7:05 WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Gavin Montgomery in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
And good morning. We begin this report with East Cavill Street eastbound and westbound directions at the Whitney Young Memorial Bridge. That new traffic pattern in that area, it reduces the bridge to just three lanes. The inbound span of the bridge remains blocked. In Bethesda, the inner loop of the Beltway at River Road and before the I-270 spur, we've got flash floods in full effect there. Use caution as you approach that area, according to MDOT. Colesville Road, both eastbound and westbound directions between East-West Highway and Wayne Avenue. We've got that closure due to weekend road work. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, rain ending this morning, then becoming partly cloudy, a high around 50. Tonight, mainly clear, a low around 34. And tomorrow, generally sunny, despite a few afternoon clouds, a high of 48. Right now, 46 degrees in Haymarket, 47 in Germantown, and 48 degrees here in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
You know what one of my favorite jobs is as a business owner? Sharing Goodfeet stories. Now I've shared my story, how I love the Goodfeet Art Support so much that I bought the store, but here is another Goodfeet story I received recently from a customer named Betsy. I was at my wit's end. I had tried several art supports and visited doctors in an effort to regain some mobility. I had heard about the Goodfeet store, so I drove over and limped in with a walking cane. I was met by Jackie, and so began my freedom to move again. She fitted me, and once I walked around the store, I knew I'd found the answer to foot pain. Then came the question, how much? Knowing what I know now, I'd pay five times as much. I've walked off 75 pounds, and I'm still going. I just celebrated my 71st birthday, so don't let anyone tell you you're too old or it's too late. It's not. Fix your feet and keep moving. Thank you, Jackie and the Goodfeet Store. Isn't it time to get your Goodfeet story? I'm Jonathan Cotton. Come on in for your free fitting and test walk of the Goodfeet Store in Richmond, Newport News, Fairfax, or Rockville, Maryland.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor for EMP 180. I'll never forget the moment when I was playing catch football with my son, and after 5 minutes, I got winded. And you know what happened? Another guy started throwing catch with my son. And I was like, I'll be damned if some other man is going to enjoy these special moments with my boy. And I realized then I had to lose the weight. My friend Ken kept saying, dude, what are you doing? That EMP 180 must really be working. And, well, Ken?
My doctor been telling me for years, you got to lose weight, you're pre-diabetic, and you try this program and that, and then none of them would work until I saw you lose 40 pounds, Larry, and our buddy JJ lost 90, and I thought, I have to try that. So I signed up for EMP 180, lost 50 pounds, and at my next doctor appointment, found out that I was no longer diabetic.
Well, you've heard our success stories. Now it's time to start your success stories. Call 855-888-0180 or visit emp180.com. Or come check us out at our new location in Potomac Village. EMP 180, a weight loss and nutrition company, proud partner of the Washington Capitals.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Great to have you along. And John Gizzi is the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And he has been where the news has been made this week. John, good morning.
Good morning. And I'm just resting up from a very long day at the March for Life.
The 47th March for Life, the first time a United States president has attended and spoken. You were there. Give us a sense of the message and the crowd response.
Well, when one sees signs that say, God bless President Trump, or most pro-life president in history, I think you know what direction the crowd is going to. And let me say, as one who has covered more marches for life than I remember, this was one of the largest, and it was assuredly the youngest. People in high schools and college proudly carrying their high school and college banners were marching and kept coming and coming. There were even people from grammar schools and homeschool children, one of whom carried a drawing of a squirrel looking up saying, please don't abort the baby humans. Most importantly, this was a crowd that was clearly energized by the president, who delivered a brief message, but a powerful one. He said, the cause is human life. He also pointed out a clear sign that he's going to make this a campaign issue, that Democrats, almost to a person in the House of Representatives, oppose any limits on abortion, even when it's a live baby. He also pointed out that Democrats in New York, upon passing a very liberal abortion law, cheered, something that truly resonates and irritates the marchers. And in the end, he said, "I love you all." Needless to say, I asked a number of the marchers what they thought about the impeachment hearings and the current impeachment trial going on. They dismissed all of it. One young man from a private university in Maryland said to me simply, "You'll be there next year." Tom Simi, father of six, said he and his wife say there's some good in the world and there's some evil in the world, implying that that's what the impeachment was about, and that he and his wife and children pray for the president and his family every night over what they're going through now. I would say Donald Trump spoke and made history yesterday, and it's a history that's going to be remembered.
So after the march, John, you had a conference call, and it was a significant one.
It was indeed a significant one. Essentially, the Trump defense team laid out its strategy beginning today, Saturday. Now, Senate Majority Leader McConnell has only given a few hours for the presentation in the Senate. Quite obviously, everyone's a little tired from these marathon sessions. They are going to basically sketch out the defense and give them a preview of coming attractions. Then they'll be back on Monday and Tuesday, and they're going to gradually lay out the case. The proverbial bottom line in all of this is that the president has done nothing wrong, as the transcript of his conversation with Ukraine President Zelensky makes clear. Now, they were asked about the reports on ABC News yesterday that Lev Parnas, a supporter of the president who's now plea bargaining and is giving evidence, actually taped the president at dinner and found him saying he planned to fire Marie Yovanovitch, then the ambassador to Ukraine. This will not be brought up, and they don't regard this as relevant to the case. Finally, I can say that the Trump defense team has no plans to ask for dismissal of the case. In effect, they have accepted the fact that in a normal court of law, dismissal of the charges would be the natural course, because they believe no charges are actually contained in the two articles of impeachment. But as one of the attorneys said, this is not a normal court of law, so they will forgo the call for dismissal. That's the word from the Trump defense team.
If the Trump defense team does avoid the Lev Parnas issue during the impeachment trial, what do you sense the impact of Parnas's allegations, and if indeed there is a tape, moving forward on other fronts for the president?
Look, Lev Parnas is one of these people who makes a big splash with sensational charges and does not flinch when he's making them, as we saw on Rachel Maddow's program and then in a subsequent series of interviews. But one is reminded, sometimes reluctantly by the national media, that this is someone who wears an electronic brace, who is desperately trying to avoid jail and wants to cut a deal with the feds. Now, there was such a big furor when ABC News yesterday said that the tape was legit and that indeed he was dining with the president and other Trump donors, and he asked about Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, and Trump simply said, "Get rid of her. Have it done tomorrow." It all sounds pretty damning. Well, the fact is that when one records another person, allegedly a friend, and does so surreptitiously, there's an immediate distaste among those who are getting the news. I saw this happen several years ago when Doug Weed, a former White House staffer to the elder Bush, recorded a conversation with his son, then Governor George W. Bush of Texas. When it was revealed, there was nothing sensational in the tape, But people generally turned on Weed, the president calling him a former friend, and anything that was newsworthy in what he had to say was quickly forgotten. So it will be with Lev Parnas.
With the Democratic prosecution winding down their case last night, at least the presentation, where do you sense that the Republican coalition is, and in particular, Lisa Murkowski, Cory Gardner, and Susan Collins, who are up for re-election, and of course Mitt Romney, who is not, but has apparently somewhat been on the fence when it comes to witnesses?
As the late Ross Perot used to put it, let me soundbite this. If you give them witnesses, they'll be happy and they'll be quiet. Essentially, that's what this Gang of Four that you've described wants, is to hear witnesses. They want to hear John Bolton. They would like to hear from White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney as well, and at least two others. Now, it should be noted that Bill Clinton had three witnesses, and Democrats are agreeing that no more than three should be questioned. I might add that in any previous impeachment trial, there was a lot more. But as long as they stick to the minimal amount of witnesses, holding firm on precedent from the Clinton trial 20 years ago, and they get the opportunity to ask questions, my guess is that they will stay firm and, barring anything startling, vote for acquittal of the president. In the meantime, the rest of the Republican conference, and that's a lot of senators among the 53-member conference. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, for example, recently cut a tape saying that there was no evidence against the president he's seen and the charges should be dismissed. My guess is that those who might wander from the ranch are going to be reined in with a few witnesses, and everyone else will stay firm with the president. I might add that the Trump legal team said to expect a trial over by February 4th, and the president keeping his appointment to deliver the State of the Union.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist, Newsmax.com. John, thank you. We will look forward to following you on Twitter.
I'm looking forward to it. And I have a closing note here on the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, also known as Harry and Meghan, as they go through Megxit. Last week, on Monday, January 20th, 84 years ago, my mother and her four sisters listened as King Edward VIII told a worldwide radio audience that he was abdicating the throne to marry the woman he loved, a free-spirited American. And, of course, they became the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, who essentially were on vacation after 1936. Mark Twain said it best, "History doesn't really repeat itself, but sometimes it rhymes." An opinion.
John Gizzi. Wow. It is 7:18. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and we've got Gavin Montgomery standing by in the WMAL Traffic Center. Then we're back with Cheryl Atkinson.
And good morning. We begin this traffic update inside the Beltway on the inner loop at River Road and before the I-270 spur. We've got flash flooding still taking place there in that area of Bethesda. Use caution as you approach that area, according to MDOT. In Silver Spring, Colesville Road eastbound and westbound directions between East-West Highway and Wayne Avenue, we've got that closure due to weekend road work. At the Intercounty Connector westbound between New Hampshire Avenue and Layhill Road, we've got a closure due to road construction in conjunction with the upgrade of the existing tolling hardware and software at those toll facilities along the ICC. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We've got morning rain around the Washington area. We'll have a high of 50 this afternoon. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 48. Partly cloudy Monday through Wednesday, with the high temperatures in the mid to upper 40s for the first 3 days of next week. Right now we're at 47. We're heading to 50, and it's 7:19 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update. Great to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler. Have you survived the week? of the impeachment hearings. Well, they continue later today as the Republicans respond. We're joined by Cheryl Atkinson. She's the host of Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock on ABC7. Cheryl, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You are writing a piece for TheHill.com. It comes out tomorrow with your impressions on the impeachment process. And what are the highlights of how you feel?
Well, I did watch the first night until about 2 in the morning when it ended. And I will tell you that I just haven't had time and haven't made a point to watch the rest of it. And outside of D.C., I found that nobody I know is watching it. In fact, pretty funnily, I think, a few people even didn't even know it was going on, including a friend of mine who said, hey, I guess the whole impeachment thing went away. And I'm still getting that from people, you know, that they're just not paying attention. And I don't blame them. I go back to something I've said before. I just don't think minds are being changed. And I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying it's wrong to pay attention if you're interested. You know, theoretically, the president of the United States could be removed. And if that something starts to look like that, I'm sure more people will take notice, but I just don't think minds are being changed over learning anything new.
Well, it seems to be a repeat of the House hearings, and the way the Democrats have presented their case so far, as though, you know, they think they're talking to uneducated 8-year-olds in the way they're just sort of these condescending proclamations that are completely false, and they expect us to believe them.
Well, yes, like one side might say, well, there's no disputing X. Well, this whole thing is about a dispute over X. So to say that kind of plays us for a fool in a way, I think, is maybe what you're saying. And maybe there are some people who know nothing who are watching for the first time and learning something. But I think anyone who's paying close attention, the relatively rare people who are doing that, they already know about what they want to know or they think they know about this whole case. So, again, mind's not being changed.
And if you're a fan of the president, it's not going to change your mind. And if you detest the president, it likely won't change your mind either.
I think that's right.
You have a story on Full Measure tomorrow that is very important to us here in the Washington area as it involves the gun control legislation that's being proposed in Virginia, of course, the Democratic legislature now. And I think people would be surprised to learn of the extent of the sanctuary city and county movement in Virginia to avoid some of the new gun restrictions.
Yes, I mean, we're talking Second Amendment sanctuary cities, although largely these votes have been symbolic. But I think most people don't know that in the past 2 months, 91 of 95 Virginia's counties have had special meetings, standing room only, where they have voted overwhelmingly to stand up for the Second Amendment and gun rights. I mean, this is quite the movement. And I think it's important because there are slices of this going on across the country. Many states have new gun laws being proposed and have local municipalities that are trying to somehow shield themselves from what they see as overreaching and unconstitutional. What's happening in Virginia is happening because for the first time in more than 20 years, they have a Democrat-controlled, basically House and Senate, that's not what they call their chambers, but their Congress, their legislature, and a Democrat governor who wants these things passed. And they have put forth a huge package of gun control legislation. Some of the proposals, which they've eased up on a little bit, were pretty outlandish for the gun rights crowd. In fact, one of them would have made some people felons overnight by redefining what constitutes an assault weapon. Since then, the governor said, well, we would grandfather in, you know, people that already have these guns as long as they register them. But there's a lot for gun rights advocates to worry about here. And I might add that I think this is being attacked at the state level because Congress seems unable to do something. As much of a mind as there may be to pass some gun control laws, they just don't seem to get the job done the way Democrats and progressive in the population want it done. So it's being attacked now state by state more than perhaps ever before.
You went around the state and visited some of the sanctuary cities. What did you sense in terms of attitudes outside the Beltway?
It was interesting because these are the Americans you don't see on the news a lot of times. You don't hear from. But it's most of Virginia and it's most of a lot of states. And they're people that live outside the cities, by and large, although there's some city people as well, who believe very strongly they're peaceful people, that believe strongly in the constitutional right to bear arms and object to the government making too many restrictions. I thought interesting that these meetings with the standing room only crowds, sometimes thousands of people in a small municipality, there were almost no pro-gun control people. Not that there are none that exist, but they decided to stay home. They're not coming out to these same meetings, almost sort of letting it happen. And the main thing, I guess, to ask is what will happen when these gun laws go through, if they do or are perceived to trample upon legitimate rights that people have, because some of these residents say we're not going to allow them to be enforced. Our sheriff will not come and arrest people who have violated laws that we think, you know, are against the Constitution. So I guess we'll have to see if there are confrontations. There will definitely be legal and court battles down the road, and we'll have to see if there are other sorts of confrontations.
In the midterm elections, of course, the Democrats did take over the Virginia legislature, but did you get a sense that this may inspire more of a groundswell in the 2020 election?
Well, here's the problem for Democrats, I think. At the national level, the impeachment gives Trump supporters something to get behind and motivate them right going into the 2020 campaign. Just as some people say, this aggressive gun control legislation gives the people who are against gun control in Virginia, and there's a lot of them, something to motivate them and make them come out. So is this a mistake strategically on the part of Democrats, because will it hurt them in the next election coming up? I don't know the answer. Virginia is kind of a wild card, you know, kind of a purple state split between Democrats and Republicans. So, you know, it's hard to say which side will come out in a greater force. But definitely, I think what we saw at these local meetings is it's a motivational factor for sure among the pro-gun rights crowd.
We'll look forward to seeing your story tomorrow morning, ABC 7, 10 o'clock on Full Measure. As always, Cheryl, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Rick.
7:27 now on the Saturday morning update. We've got 7:30 news coming up. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer on the way, and KT McFarland. Do stay with us.
I've been telling you how amazing Renter's Warehouse is for a long time, but you don't have to just take it from me. Gary from Adams Morgan tells me that Renter's Warehouse saved him from running around collecting rental checks. And Jennifer from Northern Arlington says renting with Renter's Warehouse is her hassle-free retirement plan. Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and whether you have one property or a portfolio of 10, renting is so much better than selling. And now, the friendly folks at Renter's Warehouse are making it easier than ever before. Renter's Warehouse will price your property right and find awesome tenants in just days. And for a low flat monthly fee, they'll manage all the grunt work 24/7. Rent collection, maintenance, inspections, tax paperwork, gone, done, off your plate. There are no upfront fees, and Renter's Warehouse will even warranty your renters, meaning in most cases, if your tenant doesn't stay, they'll replace them for free. Go to renterswarehouse.com and book your free home rental price appointment today, or call 202-625-4370. That's 202-625-4370, Renter's Warehouse. What will your home rent for?
When icy, freezing weather hits, your Snell Comfort Pros are here to help. Call now and take $50 off any heating repair, backed by Snell's own 2-year repair guarantee. Call today to get Snell's famous stand-up guy service to your home today. And when it comes to cold weather emergencies on nights, weekends, or holidays, Snell has you covered. Pay zero emergency fees when you call Snell at 866-77-STAND-UP-GUYS or visit snellheatingandair.com.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Hi, Larry O'Connor for EMP 180, the standard for nutritionally based weight loss. And, you know, a lot of our staff here at WML have lost weight successfully using EMP 180, including my friend, our production coordinator right here, Ken. Ken, what made you decide to give it a try?
Larry, when I hit 301 pounds and the doctor told me I was diabetic, boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I had to lose the weight. But, you know, I should have done this a long time ago. I just kept putting it off and putting it off.
Well, what took you so long?
You know, I tried all those weight loss programs for years. None of them worked until I saw you and JJ here losing all that weight. And I thought, wow, it looks like EMP 180 works.
Well, how are you doing so far?
I lost 45 pounds and I'm no longer even pre-diabetic.
Call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180 or visit EMP180.com. Or come check us out at our new location in Potomac Village. EMP 180, a weight loss and nutrition company, proud partner of the Washington Capitals.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. $1,000. Four chances for you each weekday. The $1,000 fast money keyword. WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. The next chapter in the impeachment trial against President Donald Trump starts this morning. The president's lawyers will be presenting their defense today. Democratic prosecutors wrapped up their case last night.
Yesterday really was kind of a frenzied day here on Capitol Hill. It was the third and final day for those impeachment managers to make the case that the president should be removed from office. But it was also potentially their last opportunity to try to convince four Republicans to vote with them on their side for additional evidence and documents. That today is far from certain.
Correspondent Suzanne Malvo. The coronavirus has now killed 41 people in China and made more than 1,200 people there sick. And the virus, which started in the city of Wuhan, is spreading to more cities despite efforts to keep it contained. Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam declared an emergency today. Correspondent David Culver.
At least a dozen cities are involved with these lockdowns, and that's some 30 million people. To put it in perspective, take the state of Texas, population there. That's like putting the entire state under these lockdown restrictions.
The second confirmed case of coronavirus happened yesterday in the U.S. in Chicago. In sports, the Nats face of the franchise, Ryan Zimmerman, agreed to terms on a $2 million contract for 2020 that includes the possibility of earning $3 million more in incentives. Those incentives are based on the number of games the first baseman plays and how many plate appearances he gets. Up next, traffic and weather.
One day, once-in-a-lifetime buys. It's Super Saturday, Ashley Furniture Home Store's biggest sale of the year. This Saturday, 8 a.m. to 11 at night, save up to 75% store-wide at Ashley Home Store. Plus free delivery, and Ashley pays your sales tax. Find great buys like beautiful Ashley Contemporary Sofas, just $349, or six-piece Ashley Queen Bedroom Groups, only $599 complete. Super Saturday, all-day savings at Ashley Home Store. In Falls Church, Fairfax, Gaithersburg, Waldorf, Capitol Heights, and Columbia.
Williams & Connolly, LLP, is looking for senior associate in Washington, D.C. The senior associate will work directly with partners and clients to oversee and manage complex international, commercial, and investor-state arbitration matters. The senior associate will also work with partners and clients to develop the appropriate legal arbitration strategy for clients' needs. This job requires a Juris Doctorate and a license to practice in the United States. Must be eligible to practice in the District of Columbia. Must have 2 years of experience performing complex legal research regarding inter alia pharmaceutical patent infringement law, construction dispute resolution, contract disputes, product liability, antitrust law, and investor state disputes on behalf of sovereign states. 25% travel is required. Qualified applicants should mail cover letter and resume to Lance Wade, Hiring Committee Chair, Williams & Connolly, 725 12th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20005, reference number YY.
It's 7:33, WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Gavin Montgomery in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
And good morning. We begin this report in Virginia, Route 29, both eastbound and westbound directions at I-66. We've got road construction there that has the left lane closed. And in Hyattsville, Baltimore Avenue southbound between Madison Street and Longfellow Street, we've got a water main there that's being repaired. That left lane is blocked. And University Boulevard in Silver Spring, eastbound and westbound directions between Piney Branch Road and Riggs Road, long-term road work has various lanes blocked in that area. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, rain tapering off in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy, high around 50. Right now, 47 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
It's often said that the only sure things in life are death and taxes. But there's definitely a third one, and that's change. Life is full of inevitable changes, and your success and happiness can depend on how you respond to changes you face. I'm Scott Trout, attorney and CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. In either case, you need the support of a trusted legal partner. Talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on, and that never changes.
Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Fairfax area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 571-446-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office in Falls Church.
Hey friends, you know that old proverb that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is? Well, I'm Eric Stewart, pointing you home from Long & Foster Realtors, and the host of the Eric Stewart Shows every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for the last 15 years. I'm sure you've heard the commercials that tell you if we don't sell your home, then we'll buy it. Well, the first question I think we all ask is, how much are you going to sell it for then? Because anybody could sell something below market value. Or how about those commercials stating that some agents got all the buyers? Well, if they do, they're not representing the sellers, right? Because you can't represent the seller and the buyer at the same time. I started my career over 32 years ago, and the one thing I learned is always be honest and understand a buyer's and seller's expectations. So if you're looking to get top dollar for your home and you'd like direction, call me now. 800-900-9104. That's 1-800-900-9104. And ask for Eric, or go to ericstewartgroup.com.
7:36, nice to have you with us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, retired Senior Intelligence Operation Officer, President of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, thank you for being with us.
Hey, Rick, always great to be on.
The proposed gun legislation in Virginia has been a hot topic of debate. It prompted 22,000 people to attend the gun rights rally in Richmond on Monday.
Right.
It also prompted you to write an op-ed piece. It's a town hall. It's one of the most striking headlines I've seen in a while. It's about Michael Bloomberg. The headline, Mike Channels Mao, the War on the First and Second Amendments. Wow.
Well, it's absolutely true. You look at the legislation being proposed, you see a direct attack on the ability of individuals to assemble. I mean, look, if I want to go to the range with friends and shoot guns, which is a constitutionally protected right, I can do that. But they're not stopping there with trying to get rid of ranges, Rick. They're trying to say that certain speech now you can't use if you don't like politicians. They literally have bills being proposed that will limit your ability to criticize your elected officials. And there was a Minnesota student arrested in China for criticizing the Chinese government. Think about that. So Mao is the path forward where, you know, Mao even said all power comes from the barrel of a gun, and these people want to own all guns and control speech. And so I lay out a case here talking about the importance of the Second Amendment to two things. Not only the individual protection that it gives us, the right of self-defense, but the collective right of how there's been a perception since the beginning of the last century that there's a rifle next to every blade of grass, dissuaded the Japanese member invading, and has maintained our status as a power. And we have a great commercial firearms industry that benefits the military. 6 hours, commercial 320, SIG 320, P320, became the military's M17 and M18, military weapons. So it's, everything is linked together, and I try to walk through the linkages in this editorial to make it very clear that what they're trying to do is not simply disarm individuals, it's to destroy our ability as a nation to function and for us as a people to have free speech.
You mentioned free speech in the First Amendment. I do point out that Michael Bloomberg is the guy who has directed Bloomberg News not to look into his dealings or to investigate any of the Democratic candidates. So
I'm scratching my head over that one, man. Yeah, kind of telegraphing his intentions.
Wow. All right, want to turn to a story, and this is the way CBS cast it. The Justice Department has concluded that it should have ended its surveillance of a former Trump campaign advisor earlier than it did because it lacked, quote, insufficient predication to continue eavesdropping. That according to an order made public Thursday by the secretive Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. You have new information on the FISA story.
I do, and I spent the day on Thursday with one of the folks deeply involved in this story, and according to this person, the other two warrants, the ones that weren't addressed directly here, may also be in jeopardy. Apparently, the two that have been deemed inappropriate is not sufficient. The other two, which are still on the books technically, are going to be reviewed, and my source says they're very likely going to be rejected as well. And that's going to be huge. Think about this, Rick. If all FISA warrants, which were used during this period to spy on the Trump campaign, and even after that, the information that came out of these things was used as part of the Mueller report. There has to be a complete, essentially breakdown of the Mueller report to go back and look at all the factual errors, which are now, at least partially in that report. If you take out the foundation of the FISA warrants as a collection, step, it pretty much leaves you the appearance of a conspiracy against the president. That's all I can say about that without getting into a lot more detail. But I think this is where the Barr investigation is going. I think this is telegraphing Barr's progress on what's going on. And I couldn't help but notice that both Jim Comey and John Brennan weren't tweeting on this. Just noted.
All right. Want to turn to the impeachment. It fascinates me. Adam Schiff spent much of the day talking about truth and how we need to find the truth and honesty. And he's the guy that told us for 3 years that he had evidence of collusion, which he never produced. He's a real poster child for integrity.
Yeah. Well, let's look at that for the start of that. There was nothing in the impeachment articles relating to Russia. Yet I saw his best of reel where he mentioned Russia dozens of times. And the other thing to remember here, Rick, is that this is about Ukraine. This is about Ukrainian issues that relate to corruption. And in this case, it was linked to aid. The United States gives great authority to the president to either help or harm. President Trump ultimately wanted to make sure that aid was going to be used for legal purposes, and he has the right to hold it up despite what the GAO says, the GAO report says. It's completely legal. And in this case, Schiff has gone completely off the reservation. He did nothing to reinforce anything regarding the two articles. You know, when you don't exhaust all your options in the court to enforce subpoenas, you didn't do that. And the idea that the president abused his power by using his power is completely insane.
I was kind of stunned when Adam Schiff brought up Russia invading Crimea, and he shows a picture of President Obama on the phone. And I'm sitting there thinking, what did Obama do to stand up to Russia? Is that a picture of Obama on the phone ordering blankets for Ukraine and Crimea?
I think he was ordering out Chinese food, just so. The answer is President Obama did absolutely nothing. He fought any idea of providing lethal aid to Ukraine. President Trump has done that. And there is this number being floated around about all these deaths attributed to President Trump. It's completely insane. And the Obama administration, especially regarding any act of the Russians, never did anything to push back. And so Obama did absolutely nothing during the invasion of Crimea and did even less than any other president to actually reinforce and push back against Putin. So the idea here that somehow Obama is a hero and Schiff puts it up as a contrast to President Trump is pretty much about as unhinged as you can get.
Well, it just boggles my mind, some of the arguments and proclamations that were made by all of the House managers yesterday. And it'll be fascinating to see what happens at 10 o'clock when the Republicans have the president's defense team begin their rebuttal of that 24 hours of Democratic prosecution. Tony Schaefer, thank you very much.
I was glad to be on. Thanks, Rick.
You bet. And we want to point you in the direction of Tony's piece. It is at townhall.com. The headline on it, Mike Channels Mao, the War on the First and Second Amendments. We're coming up on 7:44, a quick check of the traffic and weather with Gavin Montgomery. Then we're back with KT McFarland.
And good morning. We begin this report on the outer loop of the Beltway at the Clara Barton Parkway. And before the American Legion Bridge, we've got reports of an accident there on the outer loop ramp to Garden Rock and Great Falls. You'll find that area is blocked due to a crash and a spin out at the Cabin John Parkway. On the inner loop of the Beltway at River Road and before the I-270 spur, flash floods are in full effect. Use caution as you approach that area in Bethesda. And Maryland's 193 eastbound between Langley Drive and Gilbert Street, we've got road construction there. That left lane is closed in the area of Piney Branch Road. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We've got rain around the Washington area this morning, a high of 50 this afternoon. Sunshine back with us tomorrow with a high of 48. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're partly cloudy. We'll have highs in the mid to upper 40s for the first part of the week. Right now in Washington, 48, heading to 50, 7:45 Saturday morning update.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor. Happy New Year. This year, I'm resolving to spend more time with my family, and also, I want to run a half marathon by my birthday in June. And like many of us, I want to get more quality sleep each night. But if you or someone you love struggle with obstructive sleep apnea, it can be hard to get the quiet, restful sleep you need. If you can't use CPAP, there is another way to treat sleep apnea that only requires the click of a button. It's called Inspire. Inspire is a small device placed in a same-day outpatient procedure. Simply click the button on the Inspire remote before you fall asleep. As you sleep, Inspire keeps you breathing normally and sleeping peacefully. No mask, no hose, just sleep. If you can't use CPAP, great sleep awaits at inspiresleep.com. That's inspiresleep.com. Inspire, sleep apnea innovation. No mask, no hose. Just sleep.
Inspire is not for everyone. Talk to your doctor to see if it's right for you and review important safety information at inspiresleep.com.
Teresa could barely walk. For 15 years, she'd been collecting different insoles from drugstores and cushions from the internet. Nothing seemed to help the plantar fasciitis in her feet. When Teresa came into the Good Feet store, we took an impression of her feet and measured her arches to find where the pressure wasn't evenly distributed. Next, we had her do a simple balance test. Her eyes widened. Teresa immediately knew these were nothing like the flimsy drugstore products. This was a Lifetime product with structure, fit with precision. She had total balance, and 15 years of pain went down the drain. Years later, I still see Teresa because she sends everyone she knows to the Good Feet store. Hi, I'm Jonathan Cotton, and I was just like Teresa, suffering from plantar fasciitis. But then I tried Good Feet Arch Support, and I was so impressed by the results, I bought the store. If you have plantar fasciitis, back pain, knee pain, or even hip pain, come by the Good Feet store for your free personalized fitting and test walk. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax at Fairfax Corner and Rockville, Maryland on Rockville Pike and coming soon to Leesburg.
At the Big Screen Store, big game savings start now. Get two Samsung 4K TVs, a huge 82-inch and a 58-inch, just $19.99. Buy today for guaranteed delivery before game time. Only at the Big Screen Store. At the Big Screen Store, our prices beat Best Buy and online guaranteed. Plus, we double the Samsung warranty, and you get delivery and installation installed by pros on your schedule. Not even Amazon can do that. The Big Screen Store. The Big Screen Store is your motion furniture headquarters with innovative furniture featuring power headrests, full power recline, USB ports, lighting and accessories, power lumbar support, plus an incredible selection. The Big Screen Store. At the Big Screen Store, big game savings start now. Get two Samsung 4K TVs, a huge 82-inch and a 58-inch, just $19.99. Buy today for guaranteed delivery before game time. Only at the Big Screen Store.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 6655 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 6655. Enjoy.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
7:50 Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. KT McFarland joins us, former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration and the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. Due to be out the end of the month of February, you can pre-order it right now at Amazon.com. KT, good morning.
Good morning.
I have asked all of our regular guests their overall impressions on the progress in the impeachment proceedings. What stands out to you?
The Democrats have already lost. They just don't realize it yet. Look, they spent the first 3 years of the Trump administration trying to nullify the 2016 election, right? The Russia hoax, porn star payments, Trump's businesses, his personality, yada, yada, yada. And it didn't work. Yet, at the same time, Trump's policies kept succeeding. The economy, the stock market, energy independence, foreign policy, trade wars, new trade agreements. And then it's dawned on the Democrats, and Nancy Pelosi said as much, they know they can't win in 2020. And so impeachment was their last stand. They thought maybe, well, they might be able to get lucky and impeach him and remove him from office, or at least they'd bloody him up and he might not win. But yet they've done just the opposite of their intention. It's not working. They've given their best case against Trump. The public is bored. Their bottom line argument boils down to they don't like his personality. And yet the rest of the country is saying, why are you wasting our time? Trump's a pretty good president. My 401k retirement plan is better. My friends and family all have jobs, and they're good jobs. Our future is bright. They're optimistic about what's going to happen in the country in the future, and Trump has stood up to our allies and our adversaries and our competitors, and he's won each single time. So, you know, I think that the Democrats don't understand that they can't nullify 2016, they're not going to win in 2020, and impeachment is a ratings flop. Nobody's watching it, and that's their best case. They're done. They just don't know they're done. And I think that what will happen in Trump's second term, not only are they finished, they're irrelevant, which will hurt them even more.
A lot of talk about witnesses. What is your read on what happens if witnesses are called?
You know, one opinion is that let's get this over as quickly as possible so Trump can focus on all the good things he's done, and the Democrats can go back to nominating a crazy, loony, lefty socialist. But I don't know. I think that this might be the time to take the stake out and pound it in the heart of the swamp once and for all. If witnesses are called, then I can tell you, I was there. I know how Trump acts. He doesn't do anything wrong. He talks about stuff, events. He may think stuff, but he doesn't do it. And that's what his supporters understand. Don't listen to what he says. Watch what he does. And that's what his adversaries and critics never understand. They refuse to look at what he does, and they only look at what he thinks and says and what they imagine he thinks and says. So, I mean, that's the real difference. But if witnesses are called, call them all. Call the Clintons. Get the pay-to-play scheme of the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons. Show up evidence of why the Clintons, Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, gave waivers to companies that donated to the Clinton Foundation and gave one famous waiver, infamous waiver, to companies to sell uranium to the Russians. Get the Bidens, all the Bidens, not just Hunter Biden, But get all the relatives who were getting rich off of it. And I would get all the other people who were using and gaming the system by their offices and getting rich on policies that they were promoting that didn't help the American people, but help their donors, help the donors of the people to stay in office. You know, for far, and I write about this at great length in my book, that for far too long, the way the system in America works is that the elected officials in Congress and the unelected relatives of the officials in Congress and in politics, they impose taxes and policies on the American people that we don't need in order to perpetuate themselves in office. And that's the real swamp. I mean, you know, there is a law, actually, against people who are relatives of people in office who are getting rich off of their people, their relatives and friends. And that's where Joe Biden takes his son, Hunter Biden, on Air Force Two to an official trip to China. And what comes back from that official trip to China? Hunter Biden gets a big contract from a Chinese company. Joe Biden is at the Council on Foreign Relations. I was there when he said it. And he joked about getting a special prosecutor in Ukraine fired. Well, what he didn't tell you is that that special prosecutor was looking into corruption on the part of the company that had just hired Hunter Biden. So it's been a pay-to-play scheme all along, and the Democrats do a lot of virtue signaling in what they say, but what they do, watch what they do. I think that if you bring witnesses, bring them all and show the world what the heck has been going on with the vaunted United States of America and their tax dollars, and why we can't ever seem to get a handle on the deficit. And that's because all of these politicians and their friends and families were getting rich off the American people.
Adam Schiff and the Democrats spent a lot of time on Russia and Ukraine during the impeachment prosecution presentation, as if Trump had been complacent and Russia has gone unchecked since Trump came in. But you were there when the president did come in. You were in the White House as the Deputy National Security Advisor. What did you inherit with Russia and Ukraine in terms of the contrast of the Obama and the Trump policy? And we got about 2 minutes on it.
Okay, well, when we came, and it was during the transition that it was quite apparent that Obama put sanctions on the Russians and he expelled some diplomats because of election interference. And the first question I ask, and again, I do write it, I've just done my audio recording of the book that I've written, Revolution, and I do talk about this at great length, about what happened during the transition and the Obama sanctions and the period that then launched the Mueller investigation. Obama talked a lot about how bad the Russians are and how tough he was getting on them, but he didn't. I mean, they knew weeks, months in advance of the election that the Russians were interfering with it. Why were they quiet all that time? What did they think they were going to gain? And then when they finally reveal Russian interference and punish Russia 3 weeks before Trump takes office, what are their punishments? They're really not that big. So Trump comes in, the guy who was hoping to improve relations with the Russians, not blind to their evils and their faults, but thinking that maybe he could get enough leverage on them to mitigate their evil deeds and to find a way forward. Well, he's the guy who actually does get tough on Russia. The sanctions he's imposed have been crippling to the Russian economy. And as a result, I mean, Putin talks a good game, but there are anti-Putin movements all around his country because their economy. Similarly, Iran, which you didn't mention, but Iran, the Iran nuclear deal. Well, the Obama administration said, ha ha, we have stopped Iran's quest for a nuclear weapon. Well, they really didn't. They pretended they did, but they didn't. They just delayed it for a little while, and they didn't go after the huge problems that Iran was causing by its sponsorship of terrorism. And in fact, the Obama administration gave the Iranians a lot of money that they could use to further their acts of terrorism. So what does Trump do? He gets tough on Iran. He cancels the Iran nuclear deal. He squeezes them economically. And what do you have now? Well, he's gotten rid of the main king of terror in Iran, and the Iranian people are rising up to complain and demand change of their own leaders. That's real change, is when the people themselves want it. And then finally, Ukraine. you know, Obama and his pals talked a good game. They really were going to help help Ukraine, and they were going to help the Ukrainians throw off the Russian influence. But they really did nothing. Once the Russians got tough and took Crimea, what did Obama do? Make a couple of more speeches, but then they refused to give them the kind of assistance the Ukrainians needed to fight the Russians. What did Trump do? He gave them lethal weapons. Now, did he delay it for a little while once he had already started doing it? Yeah, he wanted to make sure that the Ukrainians, who were supporting corruption at every stand, were buying American politicians and their families, he wanted to make sure that the money of the American taxpayer wasn't going down some sinkhole of corruption. So Obama talked a good game. He pretended to be a transformational president because he was going to be the post-racial president. But he wasn't. It's Trump who's transformed everything.
K.T. McFarland, author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. K.T., thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We're coming up on 8 o'clock. The news is next with Heather Curtis. Then it's Garden Sense on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. $1,000. Four chances for you each weekday. The $1,000 fast money keyword. WMAL, a Cumulus station.